Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Out of My Mind podcast. This is Keith Crosby, your host, and in this podcast, we look at the crazy world around us through the lens of Scripture, that is to say, from a Christian worldview. And today, we're going to talk about a very unusual topic. And to set up this discussion, I'd like to ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Do you think if you were in heaven that you would find yourself disappointed? Let me frame this question differently. If you could know here on earth right now what heaven was like, would you find yourself disappointed? Of course not, you would say. But as the game show host once said, is that your final answer? Let me read you something. Matthew 22:23-33. That same day, the Sadducees came to him, who said there was no resurrection, and they asked him a question, saying, Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies having no children, his brother must marry his widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers among us. The first married and died, having no offspring, left his widow to his brother. So too, the second and third, down to the seventh. After them all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, of the seven, whose wife will she be? For they all had her. But Jesus answered them, You are wrong, because you know neither the Scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. As for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the crowd heard it, they were astonished at his teaching. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, this has nothing to do with me. I don't have multiple spouses, multiple wives, or whatever. But if you look closer, depending on your perspective and worldview, you will be astonished at his teaching or very disappointed. What in this passage, why would anything in this passage suggest anyone would find heaven a disappointment or disappointing? And I think if you look closely, the answer lies in verse 30. Why would verse 30 suggest that some here on earth, certainly not any there in heaven, but why would it suggest that some people on earth would consider a biblical perspective on relationships in heaven disappointing? And believe me, we're going to get there, but I want you to think about it for a moment. Who is teaching here? Jesus. And what is he teaching about? Relationships in heaven. And the key to understanding what relationships in heaven will be like is found in verse 30. But before I read verse 30 to you, let me add another reason for a biblical perspective on heaven that it will be disappointing to many, if not most, here on earth. And that has to do with who you would find in heaven once you got there. I think we'll all be surprised by those who made it, quote unquote, and those who didn't make it, quote unquote. The people that we expected to see and the people we never expected to see. Perhaps if you and I were to receive a comprehensive resident list in advance of our entry into heaven while we're still on earth, prior to our earthly death, depending on your understanding of salvation and God's word, you might be disappointed. And I don't have time to explore this at great length, but spend some time in Matthew 7:13-27, perhaps focusing on verses 21-23. There are people in heaven that you'd never expect to see there, and there are others who you thought would be so-called shoo-ins who will not be in heaven. And to throw in contemporary issues, Pope Francis, for example, he's the largest false teacher in the world. He's now dead, and he is not in heaven. But okay, back to the subject at hand. Would you find yourself disappointed if you were in heaven? Could you? Would you be disappointed living in heaven? Would you have found heaven to be a disappointment? I think the key to answering this question, again, is Matthew 22, verse 30. And here we go. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven. Let's have a nuanced discussion here. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. I think what some will find disappointing is the idea that earthly relationships as you imagine or understand them will be radically altered or changed. Let me say that again. Earthly relationships, particularly the closest, most intimate, and personal earthly relationships, will be radically altered or changed. They will neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven. This takes us back to the Sadducees in Jesus' day. They did not believe in heaven. They did not believe in an afterlife. And while they controlled the temple, they did not accept the Jewish Bible in its totality. They only accepted the moral law, basically the first five books of the Bible, the Ten Commandments. And they were like so many mainline denominations today. They had the outward trappings of religion. They had a form of morality, but they did not believe in an afterlife. And so they talked religion, but they lived and thought as if this life was effectively all that there is. And they passed that on to their students, to the people that worshiped around them. So they approached things, even spiritual matters, from an earthly or naturalistic or finite perspective or mindset. You see this a lot today. People think of heaven like an extension of this life. So you hear people like the Sadducees talking about marriages and reunions of husbands and wives, or seeing old friends and family, as if that's what heaven is all about. Now, do not get me wrong. Do not misunderstand me. We will be reunited with loved ones, just not in the way that you think. Again, they will neither marry nor are given in marriage, but they are like the angels in heaven. Look at the tail end of verse 30. But they are like the angels in heaven. The angels in heaven, what is their primary focus? What is it they, if you want to use an earthly term, obsess over? Do they look forward to reunions with old friends? No, they don't. What do they do? Why are they there? What is their purpose? Why were they created? Why were we created? Worship. Everything they say and do is worship in the service of God, just like us. And to that extent, we'll be just like them when we come to heaven. Finally, we fulfill perfectly our intended purpose, our ultimate purpose in the new heaven and the new earth. We will be worshiping God, and enjoying his presence, and enjoying heaven, but perhaps just not in the way many have imagined. Heaven is not about satisfying your earthly cravings. You're confusing a Muslim view with heaven with a Christian view of heaven. Heaven is about God. It's not about me and you. It's not about us. It's about God. Existence in this life and the next life is about God. When we flip those roles, those priorities, that hierarchy, we make things about us, like Adam and Eve did, and that results in disaster or disastrous thinking about heaven. Sometimes we get caught up in superstition and urban legends through these popular Christian culture books like 90 Minutes in Heaven or The Little Boy Who Went to Heaven and Came Back Again. That's all fiction. It's bad fiction. It's heresy. It's not true. Unfortunately, too many Christians get their perspective from books like these. The only picture we should derive and distill of heaven can come only from the Bible. Like from this glimpse we find in Revelation 5:14, and the four living creatures said, Amen, and the elders fell down and worshiped. The four living creatures represent the angelic host, and they worship day and night. The 24 elders represent the 12 tribes of Israel. They represent God's people, and they're there with them worshiping day and night. That doesn't mean that everybody is there in the throne room worshiping day and night, but what you're seeing is, in heaven, we do the same things that the angels do. We all worship God together, day and night. It's about God. It's not about us. Years ago, when I was in a different church, I had a sixth grader ask me, won't heaven be a boring place? My answer, my explanation went something like this. We don't understand what we will be like, but we know that our minds and bodies will operate and worship perfectly. Our appetites will be different. Think of it this way. My granddaughter, who's 15 months old, probably can't envision a life much beyond crawling around or her vocabulary of a little over a dozen words. Suffice it to say that her culinary tastes and choices are quite limited right now, but as she grows and matures, she will change. So it is with you and me. We will be changed, matured, perfected. Knowing perhaps a little more than you knew before, know this. Christ will be the center of your attention. In the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. Heaven is less to do with an eternal family reunion and barbecue and hanging out with deceased friends and associates. No, as the Bible tells us, we will be changed. Heaven is much more to do with adoring Christ and spending an eternity with Him. Our saved selves, our heavenly selves, our friends and neighbors, our family will be known to us. But our relationship with them, and yes, their relationship with us, will be radically altered. We all will be like the angels and the four living creatures and the 24 elders, absorbed with Jesus, absorbed with His glory, absorbed with a gratefulness to Him for redeeming us. Things will be different. We will be different. I know, it's hard to conceive of. In this life, it's nearly impossible to conceptualize. But Christian, before you were a Christian, could you have conceived of the peace and joy you would have by embracing the Christian faith, by being born again? It would have seemed impossible to you. You probably, like I did, thought of Christians as poor, dull people to be avoided like the plague. Nice people, but misguided people. And then after you were saved, things changed and you enjoyed Christian fellowship. You enjoyed the Bible. You were filled by the Spirit. You looked forward to coming to church and being with God's people. Things were radically changed. And as for me, I used to think of those poor, dull people. I'm now a Christian pastor. And sure, I've suffered hardship. I'm sure many of you have. You know the story of my daughter's accident, my illness. But truth be told, I wouldn't and she wouldn't change a thing. And if you told me at age 27 that any of this, that I could find contentment, joy, and peace in multiple crises before my conversion, I'd have told you that you were out of your mind. If you told me about the fun I'd have, I thought you were nuts. And so I wait now with anticipation of heaven. But in the meantime, I seek to live out my faith and lead and point others to Christ so that they will not be conformed to this world, but eternally changed. Not eternally lost, but eternally saved with the renewal that comes by being born again. So one more time, I'd like to ask you, are you disappointed in the view of heaven I've painted using the scriptures? Well, you might say I've only used a couple of texts. Well, read your Bible. If you can find something different, prove me wrong. In the meantime, let me ask you, what is your view of heaven based upon? Wishful thinking? Your own imagination? What a friend or a relative told you? If you got to heaven and found it like Jesus describes, maybe even speaking to your own misperception, but Jesus said to them, "You are wrong because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven." Does this end of verse 30 expand or threaten your point of view? Are you content with the glimpse that Jesus gives you? And maybe your disappointment or dissatisfaction or bewilderment, if there's any, stems from a larger problem, a misunderstanding of the gospel or a self-centered rather than God-centered life focus. Maybe you are, as they say, lost. I don't know. That's between you and God. But in the meantime, think about it. Think long and hard because it matters. Well, I think I've said enough for today. This is Keith Crosby signing off. If you have any questions, you can email me at keithcrosby@yahoo.com, keithcrosby@yahoo.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, share it. Give it a good rating on whatever platform you're listening to. And in the meantime, thank you again for listening. This is Keith Crosby signing off. May God bless you and God keep you.